House Resource Committee, and we're ready to start the teleconference with the southeastern sites on House Bill 44. Members of the Resource Committee that are in attendance today are Representative Jenkins, Representative Sun, and also joining us at the table to participate also is Representative Miller, Juno, and Representative Taylor. So, with that, I guess I'll just turn or go to, we have four people at this point in time in Wrangell that want to testify, and I would like to maybe take two of the people in Wrangell to testify, then and then skip down to Pelican. So, with the first two people that are scheduled to testify in Wrangell, please come to the microphone, give us your name, and who you represent for the record, and give us your testimony.
Just one moment.
Yeah, this is Lou Bame. I'm the chairman of the board of directors of the Thomas Place Homeowners Association. And I've come to the meeting not in protest or voice any opinion pro or con to the park system. My major objection seems to be the lack of input made available to the property owners of the Thomas Place Homeowners Association. I was never contacted myself, and I don't know if anyone else was asked to testify on this park impact of the situation. I have a couple of questions, at least one question as to whether or not there is some deadline, what is, if there is any reason in passing this legislation. If not, then I have a suggestion, possibly look towards, instead of invoking the parks bill right away, let's study a little bit, and maybe if we're concerned about a change to the lands involved, let's put a type of freeze in to hold the status of the land until this Marine Park bill is resolved. One other point I would like to make, and that is the fact that the Division of Natural Resources, when they offered the lands for sale in this particular area and some other state, we were required to form a homeowners association for the subdivision, certain subdivision. I believe the there's a lack of communication between the agencies that develop these homeowners associations and the legislature, in that legislative actions that would impact the area should be made aware of the presence of these associations and allow them to have some input. I believe more favorable legislation results. That's all I have to say.
Do any of the members of the committee have any questions?
Yeah, Lou, this is John. Appreciate your testimony on the bill here. Do you have a copy of the legislation down there?
No, I do not. I have the maps you sent me, and I have a copy of the Marine Parks legislation passed in 1976.
Okay, yeah, that's, if you have the legislation, it's the same thing that's adding Tom's Place land, mostly the water, into the parks area down there. But in terms of access by the road, I think that's still allowed. And maybe you could comment a little bit on the access issue.
Well, it really wasn't one of the points I wanted to make, John. At this time, there is no road into the Tom's Place subdivision. There are provisions for roads within the subdivision that would be required access through the park areas as shown on the map you sent me. One of them dead ends into the park area, so in order for it to communicate with the rest of the highway system on the island, there would have to be a corridor designated from that roadway. That's the only comment I have at this time.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Asking to go on.
You want anybody
next
else in Wrangell?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we'll take the next person in Wrangell then, Lou.
My name is Larry Cooper, excuse me, here today speaking on behalf of the Wrangell Chamber of Commerce Executive Board. Basically, as far as comments, what I have to say is I think we've got a good program here, and if the three specific questions I had to ask can be answered satisfactorily, I believe that the Chamber of Commerce would be full-heartedly behind the idea. The three questions are these. The first question, hopefully they can be addressed to each separately. The first question does have to do with the road access and any possible restrictions that there might be. Who is going to control that road access? I know the statements have been made on the fact sheets of DNR and in all the information we've received that there will be no restrictions on access to private property. But there have been individuals in the know voicing problems, believing that there could be restrictions that aren't readily apparent to us all right now. If I could have a response on that, maybe from one of the individuals that sees a possible problem with the road access.
One.
There's no problem with
road
access.
Go ahead.
This is Linda Kruger. I'm the Southeast Regional Manager for the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation. In the original bill that was passed in 1982, access is guaranteed. And so if there is the need for access through the park area in order to provide access to existing private property, mining claims, or any other existing rights, then that access is guaranteed. And the Division of Parks would work with the adjacent property owner or whoever had that existing right to identify the most feasible way to do that, to be able to provide economically feasible access while at the same time protecting any of the values of the park area. So it would kind of be a partnership arrangement of the state working with the private property owner or the Forest Service, whoever it might be, desiring that access.
Okay, if I could ask a question on top of that, then you say existing as of when, as of passage to the bill, or existing at the time of application for road access, and number two, when you say most feasible access, economically feasible, that's where that they come to loggerheads on that. Who is going to make the decision on what is most feasible for the individual landowner?
Okay, the decision on who would make the decision on what's most feasible would be, the state would probably make the final end determination on that, but that would be based on information compiled from all the various interests, submitting information to show different alternatives and what the different costs would be involved. As far as the date, existing rights as of when, that would be existing rights as of the date that the bill, the effective date of the bill.
Okay, so in other words, if we turn around and have another sale, let's say, of state property, people purchase home sites or purchase whatever recreational sites that they need to get through that property for access, but that sale occurs after the passage of this bill, those individuals have lost their right for access across that property?
I wouldn't say totally that they've lost that right. The way that the legislation is now, it's not guaranteed as it is in other ways, but the Division of Parks, I don't see standing in the way of providing access to these developments, and I think any sales in that area would be in the vicinity of, particularly in the Tom's Place area, would be in the vicinity of the existing sales, and so that any road would probably be accessing those existing areas as well.
Okay, thanks. I think that was a good answer to the question. I think part of our concern is the bottom line is that
the
state does call the shot and that it's up to us to be confident in their, put ourselves in their hands. Another question I have, and this one I probably know the answer already, but it speaks about development that we're looking, let's see, eventual development could include such things as mooring buoys, a few tables, these types of things. Is there any time frame in place now? In other words, I don't want to see this land set aside and we have to wait 10 years until we get our first picnic bench and then 20 years until we get our first mooring buoy. Do we have, who is going to control the funds on this? Do we have anything in the pipeline to allocate funds in the near future for this kind of development?
Control the funds.
Do you have a plan?
No.
We don't have a plan right now for that. There is provision for a management plan to be developed, and the management plan would be developed in conjunction with local communities, residents, landholders, native corporations, anyone who's interested. And that would identify what kind of developments, if any, are appropriate and desired by the people who use the area. And then from that, it would go to the legislature for funding. We're not able to do anything really without funding, and it would be a situation of identifying the needs and then requesting the funding to go through and provide those opportunities.
Okay, so there's no guarantee basically with the bill. That kind of takes care of my third question I wanted to bring up, which I saw the only mention of places to tie up boats was mooring buoys that I can see, and I don't believe that serves the purpose of the bill. And that we want this to be recreational property for use by everybody. If you've got a boat under 20 feet, it's kind of hard to haul a skiff on it, and you may not want to drag it up on the shore. So this is a point of something you might want to take into testimony, is that when we do get to the part of allocating money for this mooring buoys, I don't think it's the way to go. We're going to have some floating docks put in, which means a few extra dollars, and it would be real nice if we had an idea of just how much money, it would be nice if we knew some money was coming along backing this bill. I think you'd find a little more support. Thank you. That takes care of me for now.
Thanks, Larry. This is John. Just two comments on that. I think if this plan went through, there isn't very much state land left down there to be sold, so I don't think you're looking at any future land sales in the area anyway. And secondly, if you have a Lou said he had a copy of the statute there under 4121304H, you can read through that, and that is a guarantee of access to private lands.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, Larry, this is Robin. There's the additional there's the additional testimony that came in written form today from the Forest Service that they are going to be doing a little more for the people of Southeastern now in the future. I think we finally got their attention. They're going to start putting in some more mooring buoys, and they're looking at some more cabin spaces and other things, and also some floats. And have indicated in that testimony that they will look to the state for assistance in designating areas. So I think between the Forest Service and this bill, we can probably come up with some sites that will be a real benefit to the boating and recreational public. And basically, that's what this committee is working on right now, and that's their intent. So we certainly appreciate your comments. Thank you for calling in. I've got to run to another meeting at this point.
Thank you, Robert.
Okay, at this time, this is Dick Schultz, and let's move on to Pelican.
This is Edith Carlson. I'm the city clerk. I'd like to express the wish of the city council to the committee. They reviewed the proposal on Cape Bingham. They didn't look at the other sites, but for the Cape Bingham site, they had no objection.
Okay, thank you very much for your testimony. At this time, will the sites be able to hear the testimony that we get from Juno?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Oh, okay, thank you. There'll be some, I have one, two, three, four, five. There's four people here from Juno that want to testify on this legislation. So I'll go to a couple people from Juno at this time. Bob Miller.
Mr. Chairman, while Mr. Miller's coming to the table, I just want to say I'm going to have to leave for about 10 minutes and I'll be back. So if I run out in the middle of somebody's testimony, it doesn't represent any lack of interest. I just have a thing I've got to do, and then I'll be back very shortly.
I would ask you, the Southeastern legislators, so I have a transportation finance subcommittee at 5 o'clock, so I need one of you guys here to maybe.
I'll stay through the whole meeting.
And I'll be back after about 10 minutes.
Naaman.
Yes, my name is Bob Millard. I'm a native born Alaskan. I've spent a lot of time growing up in Thunder Bay as a kid. My dad is a commercial fisherman. I want to support DNR's proposal for the Coot Cove site for a marine park for a couple of reasons. I feel that it's by far the best part of the bay for moorage. It's got flat land where people can get out their boats and visit without being any conflict to private landowners. And in closing, I feel that that would be the nicest spot. I do have a petition signed by 9 other landowners that support my feeling. Thank you.
Any questions of Bob?
No. You just make a copy of that available.
Would you make
sure?
Right. Make a copy. Representative Jenkins, please.
Yes. Bob?
Bob? Question here.
Are you a landowner in Hunter Bay?
Yes, I am.
And are those 9 others landowners in Hunter Bay also?
Yes, they are.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bob. Kirk, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. That was I pronounced your name from Millard. Okay, Kirk Fredrickson. You know.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Kirk.
I'm here also to speak to the Hunter Bay Marine Park proposal. I want to speak generally in favor of it. I think anybody that lives in the Juneau area recognizes that Hunter Bay is a prime area of recreational usage. And I support the proposal. I'm a little concerned, and I just kind of really learned of this a couple days ago, and now I've just seen the January 28th, 1985 letter from Commissioner Wynicke discussing this proposal. And I also, like Bob Millard, believe that the better proposal or the better area for that marine park would be at the mouth of the bay if you look at the map. That's provided in that memo, and I think it would be a much better area for a marine park than at the head of the bay around Crab Cove. I'm real concerned, I guess, and I haven't discussed with DNR at any length as to some of their statements here, but the Crab Cove proposal apparently, if one were to exclude some of the private-owned property there, you might wind up with a marine park that didn't even have shoreline access. I don't know if that's correct or not, but under item 3 of that discussion, there is that implication, and I feel a marine park should at least have some kind of access to the shoreline, both from upland area onto the water and vice versa. Also, I do know the area at the mouth of the bay there, and if you look at the map, here on this peninsula here, it not only gives you a nice vantage point and view of the bay itself as you look to what would be the east on this map, but if you are also located on that peninsula and you look out across to the west, you have a nice view of the Chilkats, and it's a prime area. As well, there is a nice beach area there, a sand beach, which is fairly rare along that side of the peninsula. It's mostly rock, and it's a place where you can pull your skiff up, and it would be a nice picnic area. So I just wanted to make those comments. I think DNR has probably given you a good recommendation in terms of proposing that Cook Cove area as the marine park. That's about all my comments.
Any questions?
Representative Miller, it really doesn't make a difference. Your testimony is valuable, and I appreciate it. I was just kind of curious who suggested that you come and testify.
Well, actually, Bob Millard had told me he had learned
Bob
of this.
Where he got the suggestion to testify. And there's nothing wrong with it. I've been suggesting to people that they testify too. I'm just always kind of curious where all these things come from.
Well, I just came on my own because I've just learned about it. I hadn't heard about the teleconference hearing that was Monday. And I wanted to get my 2 pieces.
All the testimony we'd heard previously from all the residents that had been in favor of the other position at Crab Cove. And I was just kind of curious why.
This is actually about the first time I'd heard about it, except I knew marine parks were being proposed throughout Southeast, and I'm supportive of them, and obviously thought Hunter Bay is a prime area for such a park. But I do think, for the reasons outlined, at least in this letter, that perhaps the wrong area of Hunter Bay has been proposed.
The The testimony we had heard previously from people who use it a lot say that the anchorage over there by Coot Cove is exposed to southeasterlies and a poor anchorage, as opposed to Crab Cove being a much better anchorage.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Usually, when we've anchored, we've either beached at that sandy beach. Yeah, usually go over in a skiff on a whaler or a lund, and we'll beach on the, actually run it up on the sand, or you can tie up an area not even identified on the map as a proposed area, or we've tied up at the old cannery site where they have a mail clean tie up.
Can I add to that? As a kid, we never went anchored up in the head of the bay. It was mostly probably because it was too far of a run up into the head. And there is some weather influence from the Bear Creek Pass that comes through there. The southeasterly comes down through there. And it's open to a northerly, too. So we always, our preference was always two toe for an anchor.
The other testimony we heard was just the opposite. People that use it most always near Crab Cove because its bad effect is from the southeast, which is what we have 97% of the time.
Don't the other people that testified all live at the head of the bay? I've met with them in the better proximity to their property. Wouldn't it be to their advantage to anchor there?
You mean because they live there?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah, sure. Plus, but they infer that the users also, the recreational users also, particularly for access to the rest of the monument.
I guess one question I might have of DNR is that correct, that if those apparently, the statement here is the northern parcel would not include any shoreline and would have no legal access from the shoreline if the two privately owned lots were excluded?
That's correct. But if you look at the map, there is another parcel that is waterfront property.
We're having, if I may just interject here just a second, and I apologize to the people out in the listening audience that are not able to hear some of the people that are talking. And we just got a telephone call on that. So if the question is asked, if you would just step forward and push the microphone little switch there up so the people in the listening audience can hear.
Thank you.
Okay, at this time, we have a Sitka is now online, and there is a person there to testify, Larry Edwards. And who'd you say? Could you guess?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Tell Raina that I can't.
This is the moderator. Were you unable to hear
at
this time?
I wasn't plugged in, sorry about that. This is Larry Edwards. I would just like to say that I think the Reed Park concept is a really good one. I'm glad the bill passed last year. I'm glad to see some new areas being proposed this year. I'd like to comment on a few of those I'm personally familiar with.
Where's he from?
Cape Ingham on Yacobi Island, I think, is a really good area that it should be included in the park. There's other state land in the area near Pelican, some of which has been disposed of for settlement. I think that's good. I think that by having disposals in Pelican and adding a root park at Cape Bingham, we're showing a good balance in land management. Another area that I think is really a good one is Security Bay on Treaty Island. It's a really important waterfowl area, and I'm glad to see that it's being considered for some measure of protection and continued use by people. I think that area is not suitable for disposal because of its waterfowl use, and I'd like to see it in the Marine Park system. And also, I think Petersburg Creek is a particularly good area. The other areas of the bill I'm not really familiar with, so I wouldn't care to comment on those at this time. One shortcoming in the bill, I think, is that there are no marine parks in the area around Sitka, although there is quite a lot of state-owned land here, and there have been quite a number of land disposals proposed for the area. One really important thing in our lifestyle in Sitka is access to close-in areas, particularly islands, for recreation that people use canoes and kayaks and skiffs. It's really nice to be able to get out just for a few hours in the evening during the summer and go go a short distance and have a picnic on an island somewhere or just relax on an island. One area that I think would be particularly suitable for marine park designation here are the Chai Chi Islands, just south of Middle Island, which are just maybe 2 miles from Sitka. And another area that I feel pretty strongly about is the south end of Middle Island, which at the present time is part of a land disposal proposal. And I've commented to DNR that I would prefer that of the three areas on Middle Island proposed for land disposal, that the southern one not be disposed of, and that they go ahead with the other two areas. That's all I had to comment on. Thank you.
Larry, I have a question for you. You were talking about proposed land disposal. I'm from the interior. I'm just wondering, how many land disposals have you had in the Sitka area, and how many acres of land have been disposed of in the last 10 years in the area?
At present, there have been none. The state has been in the process of getting ready to do some. One area that they selected, I think about a year and a half ago, they determined wasn't suitable. They're now getting ready to go ahead with the disposals on Middle Island, and I said in my earlier testimony, I think some of those areas are good for disposal. They should go ahead with those. Also, right behind Sitka, there's a large area called the Benchlands. This was previously city-owned land. The city and the state traded some land parcels. The Benchlands are now owned by the state. A subdivision has already been approved for the area. There's a plan for putting in roads, sewer, and power, and I think there's an appropriation already made for doing that. And this disposal will be done very soon. So I think that the land disposal situation is well in hand in Sitka. The state is going ahead with the program here. I would just like to see some of the other areas protected for uses that have been ongoing for generations here. Our close in recreation is a traditional thing here, and it's really important to us. Thank you.
Larry, I do have a question. That stimulated another question that I have. You say that in the land disposal, there's already plans for roads and water and sewer in this area. Is that a commitment made by the state to do this?
Mm-hmm. Maybe you're getting beyond my knowledge on this. It's my understanding that it was. The subdivision was originally planned by the city, and the city was going to get bonding or funding from some source to do that, and the cost of those improvements were to be included in the price of the lots. And when the state took over, they became owners of that development plan, and it was my understanding that the state was going to go ahead and do that. Whether they are or not, maybe I'm not correct on that, but I know there is a plan on paper for doing that. Whether I thought there was appropriation for it, whether there is or not, is subject to debate perhaps.
Larry, I don't know. I was just, I have a few people in here from DNR. They're nodding their head that is right. I got to figure out how they did it, because we've had probably in excess of 20,000 acres of land disposed of in the district that I'm from, and we have no community that I am knowledgeable of except Nenana that has water and sewer, let alone roads going to it. So I just was wondering how they did this with the plans, because we may try the same thing.
Any further questions?
Learn something from us guys in Southeast every day, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I thought maybe Representative Sun wanted to add something, but I guess not. at this time, I'd like to go to Ketchikan.
This is Susan Dickinson, and I represent the Ketchikan Area State Parks Advisory Board, and I'd like to speak specifically to the Point Higgins Park site on the bill. The Ketchikan community has supported a park on this site since 1976, at least. I know that it was mentioned in the comprehensive plan at that time. The draft comprehensive plan currently going goals to 1990 also specifies this site as a recreational site. And the City Council, the Borough Assembly, and the State Parks Advisory Board have written resolutions supporting a park on this site. So I think that as far as that particular site goes, it's well supported in this area. To speak to Doll Bay and Trader's Cove, Doll Canal Bay, I don't really have a lot of information on. We would like to see it stay in the Marine Parks Bill because it is a moorage site outside the city limits or outside the eroded area of Ketchikan where people could go a short distance from Ketchikan and have a, you know, a place to use a beach. The same thing holds true for Traders Cove. We understand that Traders Cove is currently in a logging plan until the year 2000. The State Parks Advisory Board would like to see Traders Cove left in there so that after that time it could be developed as a recreational site. We wouldn't have a problem with the existing use going on until that time.
Yeah, this is John Sund. In terms of the Point Higgins Beach, it's been a park since I was a kid, so I think there's pretty good support for that. Plus, we have received the resolutions in support of that. The only issue that's come up is that it is part of the mental health lands designation in the entitlement under Statehood Act, and to the degree that we can get an agreement from DNR that all of the mental health lands that are put in the park systems will be paid back for either with cash or with other lands, state lands elsewhere in the state, I don't think we'll have a real problem with that. I also support keeping Dall Bay in and the fact that it's state land there and there is a good chunk of private land around it, and it's one of the really good moorages before you get into Clarence Straits. The Traders Cove proposal has been taken out in the proposed committee substitute mainly because of the logging efforts that are going on up there. I don't think that's a real problem. It's going to be in the logging scheme for another 15 years, and at that time would still be state land and available for either putting into a park system or disposition in that time, and leave it up to those people then to decide that.
Thank you, John. I wonder, this is the first I've heard about the mental health lands at Point Higgins. I wonder if maybe Linda Kruger could speak to that for a moment.
Yeah, Susan, I wasn't really aware that that was mental health lands either. Back in, I believe, 1978, the state legislature passed some sort of bill that whereby mental health lands would not be managed differently than other state lands. And so the state at this time is managing those lands similar to other grant lands. There are a couple of bills before the legislature and some lawsuits right now requesting that the state compensate for the uses of those mental health lands. And so there, at some time in the future, there will be a decision as to what kind of compensation should be made for those lands, whether it might be a cash settlement or a land exchange or whatever. And the state, when that that decision on what the settlement will be is made, the state will have to make some sort of settlement for these lands, whether or not they are in park status. And so in a discussion with Representative Sun this afternoon, I think we did reach a resolution where we can make accommodation that whether or not these lands are in the park will not change their status as far as some future accommodation for resolution of that issue. So I really don't think it's a concern right now.
Thank you, Linda.
If I may, this is primarily just for some information for the people out in the listening audience. There is a letter that was sent to Representative Taylor, and it's from the United States Department of Agriculture. It's the U.S. Forest Program. And in that, it says that there are 12 state-owned sites and 96 sites operated by the Forest Service.
Yeah, the borough got a lot
there
of
land. There are 65 sites in Southeast and 31 sites presently in South Central. And they include 56 anchorages, 34 anchor buoys and floats, 37 cabins and shelters, and 31 trails. And there are no fees. Fees and reservations are not required for the use of any of these facilities except the cabins. And then they go on and give a program here of what they plan on doing in Southeast Alaska in the next few years as far as more anchorages and more trail construction, et cetera. So some of you people in the listening audience might be interested in getting copies of that from Representative Taylor or Sun later on. But this time, let's just go ahead and go on with Ketchikan.
Okay, I'm Constance Griffith, and I'm just speaking generally in favor of doing what you're doing now, identifying state land and marine park units so that as the state develops or other private interests don't preempt the public's right access to marine lands for I'm sure in some places for transportation and subsistence use, and I feel also that when we have visitors to the state, it's really important that they can find places where they can enjoy our special attractions. For my personal use, Point Higgins is the one that I can get to, because I'm a weird boatless webfoot here, and I can't get to the other ones. And there are people throughout the area who do not have access to these areas unless the state legislature takes a move. And so I'm very much in support. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Yeah, thank you very much, Connie, and appreciate you taking the time to come down and testify on the bill.
This is Thaya Shab. I represent Lehigh Pacific in Ketchikan. I found out about this conference just a few moments ago, really, and I came in. I had some questions. I heard John Sund mention that the Traders Cove Park had been at this point anyway, taken out of the bill, and I wanted to speak in support of that. I spoke with Dick Koof from the Forest Service about House Bill 44 and how this would affect our log transfer facility in Traders Cove, and at that time he was not aware that a state park had been proposed for that area, and he called Linda Kruger, and it's my understanding that she has said that the state park would, if one was designated at this time, it would, that log timber would not be, logging would not be an operation that would be acceptable, you know, through the state park. So our position and also the Forest Service felt that we should wait until after the logging operations out there are finished before designating the state park. Something else that Dick Koos mentioned was that the Forest Service's plan for the Traders Cove area in between logging operations is for that area, the dock and facilities there, to be used for recreation. They also have administrative plans for the area. But it will be open for recreation, and in fact, the dock, even during timber operations, the people come and tie up and can use those facilities. Don Bell was here earlier, and he had to leave. He asked me to mention a couple of the other areas that he was concerned with. I don't know much about this. I guess my question would be, what are the status of the Thomas Lake area and the Security Bay? These are two areas that apparently Alaska Pulp Corporation was concerned about, and I don't know any more about those, except that Don Bell asked me to ask about the status on those.
Thanks, Thias. Yeah, the Traders Cove area has been taken out, and Robin just showed up here too, so we're working on that, and I agree that we'll just leave it out of the bill until the logging show is over there in the year 2000. The Toms Lake area is also in the proposed CS has been taken out too for various other reasons, so that's not an issue there. Security Bay is still in the proposed CS, and we've talked with Jim Reinerson and some of the other people, Joe Pentola, about that, and we're continuing trying to see what their exact issues are and try to take care of them down the road here.
Well, thank you, John.
This is Sandy Griffin speaking. I'm addressing this to John Sund. I would like to also endorse the concept of the Marine Park. I would appreciate very much in having a copy of the bill, having a fairly accurate delineation and maps so that one doesn't have to practice conjecture on determining what shape, what size, and what aspect of the marine chart I'm addressing through my imagination. I've picked up on bits and pieces of this bill over the past few months, and I'm well aware of the structure and direction I believe that the bill is addressing. I would like to think a marine park might have the additional concern for maintaining the highest level of marine resources as opposed to singularly making it a new place for picnicking and photographing wildlife, and that marine parks in the future will incorporate a combination concern for public use and interesting habitat that's protected by limited activity and encroachment of people using it. In effect, perhaps it would have to be indicated how many people in advance were interested in utilizing the area and would approve only so many at any particular time to utilize the area assigned as a marine park. This is all I have to say at this time. I appreciate the opportunity to speak on the subject. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Sandy. This is John. Appreciate your comments. I think in Yellowstone Park now they do line them up and only allow so many in at a time, but I hope that won't be the issue with some of these areas for many years to come. And I do understand your area. There is a bill in the legislature dealing with the concept of public use areas, and you may get a copy of it from Bonnie down there. It's a, forget the House bill number on it. It's introduced by Representative Cotton, the Krotodeshka River area.
142.
House bill 142. They should have it in the office there.
Thank you, John.
I think we have somebody in Petersburg somewhere, too.
Do we have someone from Petersburg who would like to testify at this time?
I'm Sharon Sprague, and I live in the city of Kuprinol. There are three of us here, but I talked to John Penn this morning and would like to share some of my concerns. We are bitterly disappointed that part of Section 29 and Section 32 have been eliminated from this proposal, number one. We feel like that both of those areas should be included. That would be the three-quarter north section of Section 32 and the entirety of Section 29. The reasoning for that is that there is a formal survey all the way up Petersburg Creek on both sides, dropping down into Section 29 and continuing into Section 32. We would not like to see any development in those areas at all. It would also protect more of the mouth of Petersburg Creek. What is being proposed is strictly on the creek proper. And I don't understand why you have cut it off at Section 29 at that old Forest Highway 40, because there won't be a road in there that was deemed unbuildable some years ago.
She live in this area?
Yeah.
Yeah, right on that.
Also, in looking over the maps this morning, I noticed that in a slip of paper that Linda Kruger sent down to us, we have listed Section 18, the south half, Section 19, the north half, and the southwest quarter. That is inaccurate. Section 19 would have to be the north half and the southeast quarter. Section 20 would be all. We would like to see all of Section 29 and the north three-quarter. I will apologize to John at this time because I indicated to him it would be the east half, and that is not accurate. It would be the north three-quarters of Section 32. Section 32 is also a concern because the old Duncan Trail comes across there, and it's our comprehensive plan to renovate that old trail access, and that is in Section 32. It's also a prime cross-country ski area, and we would like to see that definitely live on Sandy Island.
Thank you.
Yeah, Sharon, this is John. In terms of what we talked about earlier in Section 29, there was some private land there. and you gave me a description of Block 3, Track D as being being private. Is that accurate?
Only Block 3, John. Track D is open. Block 3 is the only thing.
Okay, and then in Section 32, it's the north 3/4 of that section, and that's down where the trailhead and Coho Creek come into the bay?
It's well below Coho Creek. The trailhead would be about midway down 32. It's a little past the mid-mark on 32. And so all we're concerned about is where that old trail comes out so that we could renovate that as a recreation area.
Okay, perhaps for the committee you could explain a little bit about what the city of Kuprinoff is and where it is in relation to the Petersburg Creek proposal here.
Well, I might say that Petersburg Creek is our prize because that is where our community is centered, around Petersburg Creek in its entirety. You can see our concern. We started being concerned at the beginning of when the city was formulated in 1975. And our first correspondence goes back to 1978. And we would like to see some kind of protection on that area. If it's a state park, which it's been requested that it be, or if it's a marine park or whatever, we need some kind of protection that does not get changed at the whim of any administration. That is our chief concern. And the mouth of the creek comes out, our community is split in half, well, about 3/4 by a quarter, by Petersburg Creek itself. We also are adjacent to the Petersburg Creek wilderness area, so that would be contiguous. Any of these protections would be contiguous to that wilderness area. Is that clear?
This is Dick Schultz again. Sharon, I was just wondering, if you knew for a fact that there was legislation pending that would simply state that the state would not dispose of any land now or in the future in this area, would that satisfy your needs?
Would that be pretty permanent, with a legislative solidity, so that it wouldn't change from administration to administration?
It would have just as much permanence as putting it into a park.
We're sort of having a conference right here at the same time, so they're asking me, what's the objection to having it a park with a park classification versus just a bill that states that nothing would be sold?
No, that's the question I'm asking you. Do you want to put into a park because you want it into a park, or are you afraid that there may be land disposed of in the future?
We weren't really concerned about park per se. We're concerned about protections. And if there was such a bill that would actually give us that solid concrete to stand on, that it wouldn't be changed, then I think that would be very satisfying to us. But we would like to see that stay as near in its natural state as possible. That area is used by innumerable amounts of people. And those flats right there that have been deleted in Section 29 are prime clam digging areas, and it's used by people from Petersburg and anyone that comes into the area. There are people that come in all summer long and rent boats and go up in that area and fish. It's a beautiful area and it should be protected. And I don't know if you're aware of all of those subdivisions along there, but we've requested that those be done away with numerous times, and nothing has been done to do that. And it's come up for sale twice, so it's a very scary issue for us.
Yeah, thank you very much, Sharon. Is there anybody else in Petersburg there to testify on either this or the Beecher Pass or Security Bay?
Beecher Pass is here.
The Beecher Pass Homeowners Association.
Yes, hello, this is Dan Kowalski, and I'm offering testimony on behalf of the Beecher's Pass Residents Committee. And generally down there in Beecher's Pass, almost 3 years or so ago, they had state land disposal, and there's over 80 parcels that were disposed of there. And it's the feeling of the people that are living down there now that a park would, we support the park generally, and the park would be definitely better than more land disposals down there, because we run the risk of having fairly high density down there. some of our general concerns would be that the people that are living in the area just next to the Beecher's Pass, proposed Beecher's Pass Park, would have some say in the direction of the management and development of the park, because, for example, it may or may not be a good idea to put in a float down there. These things need more study. Also, we'd like to encourage that Keen Island be included in the park. Excuse me. And other general comments. Generally, we'd like to support the concept of a park in Petersburg Creek. And a concern about the plan in general is that the parks would not interfere with any kind of commercial fishing activities in the area. I know that there's some places that are closer to, well, that are fished commercially more than, say, certainly Petersburg Creek and Beecher's Pass. So I'd like to offer that as well. Thank you.
If I may comment, this is Dick Schultz. The purpose of a park, if you've got a park, it would be my intention, if there's 20,000 people that want to go down there on a weekend, you certainly could not, whether you like it or not, deny the public the access to it.
Yeah, in response to your two questions, Keen Island is in the proposed committee substitute, and also the statute that lays out does provide for input by not only the residents of the immediate area, but also users and any other user group that would be involved in developing the management plans. We had the Department of Natural Resources kind of explain that earlier in the teleconference. I don't know if you were able to hear that or not.
Yeah, I see. Thanks for the clarification. What about the concern about commercial fishing? Is there a word on that?
Yeah, in the statute, you should be able to get a copy from Dorothy there. It's 4121 300 to 304, but specifically commercial fishing, sport fishing, hunting, trapping, are all permitted activities within the park unit.
I see. Thanks very much.
Are there any further people in Petersburg that would like to testify?
This is Ethel Bergman from Kupernoff. I feel that we should have some protection in the Petersburg Creek area because, and a type of protection that would fit in with the federal wilderness area that is further up the creek from the mouth. This park section is really taking in basically the mouth of Petersburg Creek to where the federal lands begin. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. We're going to take a couple of people that are in Juneau here to testify, and we'll have them over the teleconference network. Is Jim King here?
Yes.
Either hold the button down and flip the lever, or either service must come. You need to state your name.
My name is Jim King, and I'm a 35-year Alaska resident, formerly lived in both Fairbanks and Bethel, and have been resident in Juneau for nearly 20 years now. And I'd like to speak in favor of HB 44. I think the feeling of a good many of the people I associate with is that the people of Southeast Alaska, and particularly in my case the Juneau area, feel that they have been shorted somewhat on the aspect of state parks, and we're eager to see some state parks here. And as I listen to the testimony today and have been following this thing, I see a number of smaller places in Southeast appealing for state parks in their area, and I can understand their wishes there. we've been hearing a lot in Juneau about the Hunter Bay area in this connection, and as I understand it, the residents over there, and I've talked to some of them, are unanimous in wanting a little state park in their community. And I've heard that they have been accused of being selfish or discriminatory or something of that nature. And what occurred to me, I'm a veteran of probably half a dozen special elections and referendums and whatnot relative to statehood back when we were a territory. And to me, one of the major promises of statehood was self-determination. And here we have a little community who is almost virtually unanimous in what they want. And I would suggest that the people of Alaska would support a little community that's unanimous getting what they ask for. And I would hope that, that the committee and the legislature would take that concept into consideration and give them what they're asking for. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? You want just take another? What do we have? We'll take another person from Juneau here. Joe Geldhoff.
Might ask Mr. Geldhoff if he's going to run in the St. Patrick's Day race. We're raising money.
Please just state your name and who you represent.
I'm Joe Geldhoff, a resident of Juneau, and I'm representing myself and my family on this. I'm in favor of this bill and in favor of the whole concept of marine parks. My wife and the child and I have been to some of the great parks in Alaska and Yukon. Most of them are federal, and I have to say some of the best times we ever had have been at a Alaska Marine Park over at St. James Bay. I think that really illustrates the fact that they are accessible and they do provide a really needed component to the recreation and park system in our state. And to me, the marine park system and the Alaska park system, it's a little bit like the permanent fund. Every time you put money in it, you're investing in the future. And I think, you know, the more parks you add now, while, you know, before there is huge population pressures or at least larger population pressure, it's like an investment in our recreation future. So I hope you put a dozen of these things in every year for at least a foreseeable future. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Oh, I don't know. Do we have anybody else outside anywhere?
Is there any more?
Do we have any other further people in Ketchikan, Wrangell, or Petersburg that would care to testify on this?
From Petersburg, I'm Dixie Boddy from Kuprinoff, and I just wanted to add a few things to what Sharon Sprague said earlier in opposing deleting of part of Section 29 and Section 32. I would like to point out that those two sections are in the city limits, and we definitely would like to see them included in the park, and also feel that the city of Kuprinoff would like to be and wants to be involved in the management plan. And I personally very strongly support House Bill 44 in Marine Park.
Any questions? Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Dixie. I'll rewrite the committee substitute with the corrections and the property descriptions in the Petersburg Creek area. If there's no one else in Petersburg, let's check in Wrangell and Ketchikan.
This is Wrangell.
Do we have anybody else in Wrangell to testify?
Yes, we have three more people. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, this is Alice Hansen in Wrangell, and as an individual, I just want to say I'm very much in favor of the Marine Park designation for Tom's Place and the Tom's Lake area. But one comment, as a member of the Board of Directors of Tom's Place Homeowners Association, I think I know from a survey we did, the association did, that a large majority of the people who responded to our survey anyway, in response to our question on what they'd like to see happen to surrounding state lands, the reaction was strongly in favor of the and some of the landholders in the subdivision have lots beside the what seems to me will be the parkland, so I haven't seen a detailed enough map yet to have a precise understanding of it. But I'm sure these people would like to be consulted, at least in the placement of any future park development, such as cabins or docks, since obviously they would practically be in their backyards and directly between in their access to Tom's place. Otherwise, I'm sure most people would be in favor of this sort of development, as long as the intent of it is to keep the land as much as possible in its natural state.
Now, Alice, regarding your recommendation on future disposal of state land, we had a electronic glitch here. Could you repeat that?
I think what I understand what you say. The reaction there was that we would like as little, the people I have spoken to would like as little possible change from the natural state. And if the park was to go through, I think the landowners who are very close to this park area would like to be consulted or hope to be consulted if there's any actual construction going on, so that it can be allocated in suitable sites, not too close to personal property.
Yeah, thank you very much, Alice. Is there anybody else there in Wrangell?
Yes, just one moment.
Yeah, this is Bill Previtt, the mayor of
Wrangell. Do we have anybody else here?
I'd just like to report that Tuesday evening, February 26th, the council unanimously passed a resolution in support of the Marine Park and Tom's Place, as well as Tom's Lake. This area has been recognized historically as a recreational area, with hunting, fishing, and trapping being recognized. According to the park and what it can do, the Marine Park anyway, access should still be available. One of the concerns that I have is that, especially in the Tom's Lake area, would you correct me if I'm wrong in assuming that I heard that that has already been taken out of the selection for the Marine Park?
One of the proposed committee substitute being drifted around or handed around the committee has deleted that as a proposed park site. That's correct.
I very strongly object to that, and the reason is because we would hate to see in the future state land disposal taking place around that lake, which would basically cut it off from the public use. And this is why we feel it's very important to include that 2,500 acres of Tom's Lake. I just bring a reference to the fact of the 400,000 acres that's supposed to be allowed for community expansion. 10% of that is supposed to go into marine parks. The proposal that you're talking about now, including Tom's Place, is less than 10,000 acres. If at all possible, I do believe that the people of Wrangell would like to see that area, Tom's Lake, included in this marine park proposal.
Yeah, this is Representative Sund. Just to clarify, in the city council's action, did they take an action on Tom's Lake also?
That's affirmative, John. We certainly did. We had our acreage slightly mixed up, but Tom's Place and Tom's Lake was definitely included, and in fact, I think there was as much, if not more, support for the Tom's Lake area than Tom's Place, given that there is a lot of private ownership already around Tom's Place due to the land disposal, but we would like to see them both take place.
Yeah, I guess a couple of issues that came up in front of the committee. One is there is some discussion on the committee whether a lake, a freshwater lake system, should be included in a marine park system is one issue, and the second was some access issues for logging roads through that area raised by the Forest Service. Was the access or logging issue raised at the city council meeting?
John, it was to a slight degree. The access issue is with the road going by there, I don't think that the community really opposes so much to that. But as far as the lake goes itself, the drainage goes to Tom's Place, and to me it's an integral part of the marine park system if you include Tom's Place at all. If Tom's Place is included, it seems to me the lake should be included also, because they go hand in hand.
Good argument. Thank you very much for your testimony, and certainly keep that in mind when we make the arguments to the committee here. I'd like to take one more person from Juneau at this time, as Keith. Just identify yourself.
John, we do have one other person from Wrangell if I haven't cut in yet.
Yeah, okay, if it could wait 1 minute, we'd just like to roll around the sites. Yeah, we'll get back there in a minute. Why don't you go ahead and just press the bar down and identify yourself.
I'm Keith Apple. I'm actually from Wrangell. I'm up here on business, so there will be a couple of us. I'd just like to testify also in support of Tom's Place and Tom's Lake to be included in this marine park system. I got a parcel in the what was called the Tom's Place lottery. However, it's not within the Tom's Place. It's actually adjacent to it. And this is one question I'd like to ask myself is, if the Tom's Place area is not included as a marine park, I went to the state land disposal hearings, lottery hearings, and the public comment at that time was to keep the Tom's Place area open for public recreation, not to have private parcels in that area, and that also, the testimony for that was consistent with Tom's Place. So with that, with those feelings from the local community, I think the marine park system would be consistent with that. And I guess I also have a question. If it's not included in the marine parks program, Tom's Place specifically, where does it go?
Well, in answer to your question, Keith, it would stay in the state land program, and I'm not sure whether it would be up for disposal or whatever. You'd have to ask somebody from DNR. We have DNR behind us here maybe to testify on that issue.
Okay, that was my main point, just that Tom's Place and Tom's Lake, if they're not included in the Marine Parks program, that they at least be preserved for public recreation, because I went to those hearings and the feelings was that those areas be maintained for public recreation, because there is a lot of public use in both of those areas. And the feeling was that if there was private parcels in those areas, there'd be some direct conflicts and problems with that resource management.
Okay. Thank you very much. Are there any other people in Ketchikan that would like to testify?
No one's left in Ketchikan that hasn't testified.
What else do we have here? We already had her. She was just on. Yeah, back in Petersburg, Dorothy, is there anyone left there?
And this is the moderator in Petersburg. There's no one here who wishes to testify.
Okay, I guess we have one more person left in Wrangell then.
Yes, this is Judy Daniels in Wrangell. Are you ready for testimony?
Thank you, Judy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was beginning to think maybe I was running out of time here. I'm here both as representing myself and as a member of the executive board of the Wrangell Chamber of Commerce. And we are in favor of the bill and the marine designation for this park area to be used both by the public and by visitors to our state.
How can you oppose the Chamber of Commerce?
One of the issues that seem to have come up later on in this teleconference is the issue of Tom's Lake. And I understand it has been deleted from this bill because of technicalities and the fact that it is not saltwater access. We do urge that something be done to set this area aside, either a public use designation or something of that nature, because we do not wish to have the lands around the lake chopped up through disposal. And there is already, by the way, an established trail through the Tongass National Forest, about 2 miles from Tidewater up to the lake. So I would imagine that we would work with the Forest Service on that, getting that trail designated to connect with any sort of protection we would put on this area. Concerning the Tom's Place, we have two major concerns, one of them being the guarantee of road access so that people from our community can get down to the Marine Park area, even if they don't have the luxury of a boat at their disposal. And the second is that we would like to have a dock area at all possible down there, mainly because so many of our local people here do not have larger boats, and that can carry a dinghy to transfer them to shore. And is there any way that you can guarantee that we will be able to have docks down there in addition to the tie-up buoys?
Judy, not to speak for the Department of Natural Resources, there's nothing in this plan. Matter of fact, this bill has what we term a zero fiscal note with it. It would be just the designation of the land in a marine park status, and the future management plan of how it would be managed would be developed in conjunction with the community, the adjacent property owners, and all other people involved. And once that management plan came back with an idea of how to use the land, then I think you could approach the legislature, the city, or other sources of funding to develop it. But there's not much real encouragement to just put money in without having a plan to spend it.
Well, I realize that everything is down the road a ways. You know, since we're in a depressed area here, everything we're planning is down the road a ways, too. Maybe you could enlighten me a little bit. I'm a little naive when it comes to the workings of the legislature. When do public hearings become a part of this?
In terms of workings of the legislature, Judy, this is it. In terms of setting out the I don't know if you're talking about the public hearing on the bill or in terms of a management plan. The management plan would come down the road with the department, but this is a public hearing on the bill itself here.
Okay. If Tom's Lake is deleted from this bill, is there some way that we can get a public use designation put on that area to protect it?
Yeah, I guess there are two issues. One, there's nothing in the Marine Parks statute that prohibits a lake from being part of the Marine Park system. It was just a philosophical or conceptual issue that raised by some members on the committee and others. But in answer to that, secondly, other use designations of the lake area, I think it's open for almost any other type of use designation. I know the Division of Parks has hesitated calling it put it in the park system because of its small size. But we'll work on some other area of trying to set it aside and keep it from being in the land disposal unit. Does anybody else here want to testify on this?
Time, and keep up the good work.
Let's keep the planes flying. Does anybody here wants to testify?
Don't make me wait.
Thank you very much. I don't have anybody else left on the list either here in Juneau or in the teleconference system to testify. Is there anybody else on the system that would like to testify at this time?
Yes, there's three people in Pelican.
Pelican. Okay, let's go ahead with Pelican then. Just state your name, please, for the committee.
Steve
Hawkins. I think we're just about over. Yeah.
Steve Hawkins.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, one concern that I wanted to inquire about has been answered, and that was whether commercial fishing would still be allowed in the area of Cape Bingham and Soapstone and around that way. But the other concern that we had was that quite a few boats that leave Pelican depend on the Mite Cove and Soapstone harbors for protection when the weather kicks up out there. And the suddenness of our weather changes in this area make it essential that we continue to have the use of these harbors. They're not very big harbors, they're rather small, and we're kind of worried about overcrowding out there.
Yeah, one of the purposes of this park to set aside is to assure that those harbors are there available. Yeah, I'm well aware of the weather out there. I lost my engine in Hocktaheen 1 year, so I spent a few nights in Soapstone myself.
All right, then I believe somebody else would like to testify here also. many of us have the same feeling that Yvonne expressed, that there might be a conflict of activity during the summer. That's the busiest time for the fishing, and it also would be the time when sport fishermen and visiting boats would want to be using the facilities, or rather the harbor, whatever is available there, and we're afraid there might be a conflict.
Is that done?
Did you get Betty Clausen's testimony?
Yeah. Yeah, we got that last testimony. Thank you. Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, this is Richard Lindahl in Pelican. I'm also somewhat leery about the designation of the Bingham area for a marine park. In Pelican was built by fishermen as a fishing town, and it's the only real source of industry in the town, except for a few support businesses for the fishing fleet. In the Bingham area, in the soapstone area, there are established troll drags and halibut sets. And I feel that if we put in mooring buoys and floats in these areas, we'll be plugging the harbor with floats. A lot of those areas have a lot of surge in them, and so boats go ahead and anchor in the areas where they can get out of the surge, and those will be the prime spots for the floats and for the mooring buoys. And I'm somewhat concerned that we'll further down the line see that the floats have the same designation as they do in Glacier Bay. Commercial vessels are not welcome to moor at those harbors or at those floats, which, even though we can be able to anchor in the harbor, we won't be able to use the floats, and they will be in the prime spots. And so it's going to crowd the harbors, causing boats to collide when they're riding on anchor. The other thing I feel is just by supplying these areas with floats and with mooring, we're going to be promoting a lot of sport fishing out there. Now, the reason the town was built here was for commercial fishing, and not that we can stop the sport fishermen coming out on the drags, but their proximity to our fishing drags we're going to be putting up fishing all fall and all spring with rough weather, and finally when the weather gets good and we finally get to enjoy our commercial activities, that we'll have a bunch of puker boats coming out and anchoring in our harbors and then coming out and fishing the drags and stuff in a manner that isn't compatible with our troll efforts and some of our halibut efforts. So I'm somewhat concerned with that. It just bothers me that I put up with the lack of conveniences, the lack of facilities and recreations like bowling alleys and movie theaters and everything to live out here where I can make a living. And then I end up being the play yard, the playground for somebody else that's making $30,000, $40,000, and $50,000 a year and can get out there in the good weather when I can finally get my family out there. So I realize that it's a multiple use type area.
Even in Anchorage,
and
most people are just
I certainly appreciate the people from bigger cities want to get out there, but I'm not sure I want to see it promoted in my backyard. Also, with this harbor thing, if and when this area does get designated as a marine park, I would certainly like to see the Pelican ADF&G Advisory Committee specifically be involved in the planning, and I would also imagine that
Yeah, thank you very much for your testimony. As it's been stated many times here, that in developing the management plans for these, all the affected people or organizations in an area would all be involved in the consultation and that. So I think that it, you'll have your say there of if and when this place is developed. With that, I think we're just about running out of time. If there's anybody else left to testify, we have a few more minutes.
I am Lou Bain from Wrangell. I'd like to speak to John.
Yeah, Lou, go ahead. Private conversation.
Yeah, John, I think we, this meeting here, we've had about a dozen or more people here, and it came to light that we need better maps of the areas involved. It would be helpful. The second point I would like to bring up is, since we have a Tom's Place Homeowners Association and the potential for development of a possible community there, that any consideration of park in the area be inclusive to include provisions for possible community municipal expansion in the area. One of the maps shows that part of the upland area is not included in the park, and we'd like to have more specific maps to show that. And if it is all inclusive, if all of the state lands in the area are to be included in the main park, then some consideration should be made for future community expansion, municipal expansion. A third point I'd like to make is that I am totally in favor of including Tom's Lake in any marine park area, and we should not, the word marine does not preclude non-saltwater estuaries, so just the word marine does not preclude the park. We should be able to include that in a marine park.
Thank you very much, Lou. We'll get some better maps down to you right away. I'll send them down to your address there, and appreciate your comments on the municipal expansion concept there. And we may take a look a little bit at the total acreage in the Tom's Place proposal.
All right, yes, John. Thank you. Send me several copies of those maps. Bob Gold would like to have some, and I know Judy at the chamber would probably like to have a copy too. There are some smaller designated maps on one of the maps I saw. It says section supplements. If we could get copies of those section supplements that are noted on the map, that would help too.
Okay, we'll do that. And unofficially, Ginger says hello.
Hi, babe.
Do we have anybody else to testify on this? His daughter works over here.
John, this is June Gove from Wrangell. I was up visited with you fellows yesterday. I just wanted to add my support to the Tom's Lake operation because, as Bill stated, the watershed runs down, and the trail from Tom's Place to Tom's Lake would provide an integral portion of the park, and the people in Wrangell feel very strong about not letting Tom's Lake turn into a development of any kind. Were you to put homes in there, that they could be dead in probably 5 years with the drainage situation that exists. So I think it's very imperative that you think about that. In regard to the designation as marine parks, I had quite a conversation with Neil Johansson in that regard. He said that marine parks have been taken too literally, that his intent on his marine park program was not to necessarily mean that all marine parks were located on the seaboard.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jim. Any questions? Jeez. Do we have anybody else left on the teleconference system that wants to testify on this bill? Okay. If not, we're going to close the testimony off on the House Bill 44. It's about 5:40 p.m. and adjourn the informal committee meeting here. I guess we didn't have a formal committee meeting.